begin a series of sermons today on the theme, the time of your life. There are two scripture readings for today's message. The first is from the Old Testament in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and the second is from John's Gospel, also from the first verses there in chapter 3. So first, listen to God's Word as it comes to us from Ecclesiastes, beginning at verse 1. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. And then in John's Gospel, chapter 3, the familiar story of Nicodemus meeting with Jesus at night. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews, who came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things?" There ends the reading. Let us pray. O Lord, we thank you for the gift of your holy word, your written word to us. And as we think on these passages today, open our hearts and our minds to hear your living word in Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, today I begin a series of sermons on this theme, the time of your life. And the truth is that as human beings, we go through many stages of human development. And many authors, psychologists included, have tried to analyze these stages. I remember studying often a book by Erik Erikson and his 8 stages of human development. You know you've been in school too long when you can actually quote every stage and tell about it. There's also an author, Gail Sheehy. I like the way she writes. I read her book, Passages, many years ago, but I've never read her book, New Passages. But every 5 or 6 years, I feel like I need to read Gail Sheehy's book, Passages, once again. One contemporary author has said it very simply. There are 3 stages in life. Morning, afternoon, and evening. Another author does it by the seasons of the year: spring, summer, fall, and winter. And as I've been told this morning, the groundhog didn't see its shadow. Another author does it by months. January is the beginning, our younger years, and then it goes through the months of the year, and December is used as an example of our older years. The truth that you need to hear this morning is that all of us need to celebrate the wonders and the joys at every stage of life. The author of Ecclesiastes reminds us that life is a rich tapestry of experiences and moods, if you will. Some are contrasting moods like weeping and laughing, loving and hating, war and peace, dancing and mourning. We are born and die in this earthly life. But hopefully we die in our earthly existence after our years are full and we are full of years. And we do that, hopefully, trusting God who orders life both now and forever. Another stage of development awaits all of us. But today, the sermon is entitled Halftime. And so that you know how simple I am, I entitled it that because today is also the Super Bowl. But you know that halftime is the intermission between two halves of the game. During the halftime of the game, the coaches and both teams, they go somewhere under the bleachers and meet for a time. And they often question the first half and their game plan. And they decide whether or not to change their plans, to bring in perhaps some new plays, perhaps to take a player out and put in someone different. But they also may think, if all is going well, why do we need to change at all? On the other hand, if they are dissatisfied with their performance and perhaps they're losing the game, they're losing the battle, clearly some new strategy is called for. And moreover, halftime reminds us that there is still time on the clock. The game is not over. But the time will eventually run out, even this evening with all the commercials. It'll finally be over, thank goodness. Now, I want to compare today that theme of halftime with our lives. Some here this morning are in the first half of life. Good for you. Others are in the second half. I almost called a few of you this week. I was on vacation, but I almost called a few of you to apologize for this sermon, especially those who are older like me. And I actually did call a few people. I called my mother. I called one of our members who's running to be the next pastor. I called Bill Lewis. And Bill and I explained the sermon theme to him as to not surprise him or make him angry at me. And we had a great laugh together. And he said, "Well, Chris, I guess I'm in the fourth quarter. Or at least December." I didn't add to that. But lovingly, let me say to you today, I'm not going to play the age game. Though that's a fun game to play, because the age part is really not important in this message. Let me play one game with you, because I'll tell you a story about myself. I remember years ago now when I reached 40, and you remember 40 used to be mid-age, and that was some years ago for me. But at my birthday party, one joker said to me, "Chris, it's all downhill from here." And that was a good friend. I looked up that new census that's coming out. And believe you me, it says on that census there is a category to check if you're middle-aged. And the range they give now, middle-aged is from 45 to 65. And I imagine in the future census it will be perhaps 70 or 75, because people are increasingly living longer and longer. The point is that life at any age is worth stopping and reflecting along that journey to see what you were doing and how you were doing it, and to see if you need to change in the time that you have remaining. That's the point of the message this morning. Halftime. Halftime is whenever, at whatever age, we stop and review what we have done and wonder what we are called to do in the time that is left. And so halftime can happen at any age. Years ago, there was a popular book written by Bob Buford that was entitled Halftime. He was a successful businessman, and he changed. He took time off from work and devoted himself to the church. But he says in his book, Halftime, and it's a good book, that reassessing our plans is possible as long as we breathe. In other words, it's never too late to discover a better way. Halftime. And so as we reflect this morning and dare to risk with our faith in God in this time of worship, let us consider what changes we might need to make for the future. And let me suggest some of them. Just a few. First, in the second half, after halftime, you might take some time to appreciate and enjoy every minute of the game that remains. Rejoice that you're able to play, and to remember that play is a part of living. In other words, savor the basic joys, the smell of wood burning in the fireplace, the look of joy on a child's face, or the look of wonder, the taste of a good cup of coffee or a good cup of tea, the sky when it's so blue, and you see those little white dots in the sky, and you think like that painter Bob Ross and say, look, those are happy little accidents. Of course, we all have troubles. We often worry so much about things that either do not matter or that will never be resolved. And yet there are joys in taking a walk or seeing a wildflower grow up where it shouldn't be. Perhaps walking along the beach and seeing a dolphin jump again and again. Those are all gifts to us. All gifts. Yesterday, we started a fire in our fireplace, and we have a new kitten, 6 months old. And the kitten stood and watched that fire for hours and hours and hours, and then slept on the front of a footstool, and then when the fire got hot, moved to the back. I'll have to get some more logs today. Appreciate the joys and the gifts that God gives you. How about really seeing people? Those people you love and those people that you've put up with for years, really see them as they are. So many in the first half of life are too busy pushing forward like those good linemen in the game this evening. They push, 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 striving, working, and shoving, rarely enjoying, but working hard. Take time to be fully present in the time that remains. Secondly, in the second half, take time to recover from the mistakes in your first half. The game is won or lost in the second half, right? At halftime, you don't spend time with regrets. We can learn from mistakes, we can learn from difficulties and failures, and we can make corrections in the second half. And as we said last week, Christ is a big deal and can make you new. I don't know why, but some people, as they get older, they major in their weaknesses rather than their strengths. Have you noticed that? Some people in the first half of life, if they tried to control things, sometimes in the second half, they try to control everything. Sometimes, if a person has a tendency to be judgmental or critical, when the years start to add up, sometimes they can be critical of the server in the dining room or the restaurant or even to the friend that sits across from them at the table. take an intermission, take a time out in life, and think about the person you want to be in the second half, in the time remaining. How do you want to be remembered? Use your halftime to pray to God to give you the strength when the whistle blows for tomorrow, which will have its own particular temptations and troubles. It always does. You may decide to take care of some unfinished business in the second half. Are there people for whom you owe some kindness that you may have forgotten? Is there someone you might say, "I'm sorry," and then make amends? In AA, one of the rules, one of the steps in AA is to seek those people out that you have hurt and to make restitution as far as it is possible. That's a good step. With God's grace, you see, you can recover from your mistakes in the second half, the time that remains. Well, thirdly, in the second half, we have to take time to get back to the basics. That's important. In other words, simplify in the second half. Early in life, we have a tendency to accumulate things sometimes as a sign of success, to buy that first home or that car you've always wanted, and other things. Of course, many of us in those early years remember times in which we had little or almost nothing we tell people. In the second half, we come to understand more clearly the joy, you see, of giving things away. Oh, the joy there is in giving rather than just taking. The importance of relationships finally dawns on us. The importance is not in things, the importance is in people. And a good football team, after halftime, will get back to the basics of running and tackling and playing their position. Fourth, in the second half, it will reveal your true character, whether you wish it or not. What you're really made of shows up in the second half. I thought this week of Robert E. Lee, of all people, the old Confederate general. After the Civil War, he returned to Virginia, and he returned to Virginia as a defeated soldier, a defeated warrior. Lee was approached by some financiers and asked to lend his influence and his name to that infamous Louisiana lottery. And by the way, during the Civil War and just after, lotteries were very, very corrupt. And across the nation, they were banned after the Civil War for the most part. But Lee was asked to offer his name and influence to this Louisiana lottery. And Lee responded by saying this. He said, "I have lost almost everything. I do not intend to lose my good name." In the second half, persevere. Keep your reputation intact. Patience, good humor, faithfulness to a good finish, reaching down for something extra when you have been knocked down and winded, but coming back for more. We pray all of us at halftime will reveal such character as that. In football, they talk about the courage of playing even when you're hurt. And there are many veterans in this room that know about that in the second half because you do it all the time. And I'll say to you this morning, if last week was a theological doctrinal sermon, today I hope is a pastoral one. Because I am encouraged as your pastor, I am ennobled. Because I have seen so many fight the tough battle and keep on keeping on. And that's called character. And then fifthly, finally this morning, in the second half, whether you're in the first quarter of life or the fourth quarter or in overtime, you will need to reach down deeper in your faith to God. What does God want you to do in the time that you have left? Perhaps today can be a halftime in your life, a time of decision to practice faith, a faith deeper than you ever have. Let it be that. I think of Nicodemus that we read about this morning in the gospel lesson. He was old. We're told that. He was also, we're told, a respected member of the court in his land. He was successful. But what brought him out in the middle of the night to talk to Jesus? What was it? You know what it was. There was something in Nicodemus' life that was missing. And Jesus said, "Oh, Nicodemus, you don't have to be the same person that you've always been. You can become new if you're born from above by my Spirit." And so what time is it in your life this morning? Consider that question as we come to the Lord's table, because Jesus of Nazareth has been around for a long time. How are you going to play in the second half? Amen.